Are we gonna let John Lehman come up here? All of them in favor? John is a person I've known for a number of years. He was a member of the Assembly, State Senate, right? And now you're running again, and I hope he wins because he is one terrific person to have represent you.
Thanks, Ed. I thought when I would be coming here today that I would see absolutely no people from Racine. Then I saw Mark and Bart Bolinski. I think they might be the only two people from Racine here. But I didn't come here to ask people for their votes. I assume no one in here is living in the 21st Senate District besides the Bolinskis right now. Nobody here is able to vote for me. But I wanted to come anyway, partly out of my respect for Ed and the grassroots movement that he's fostered for so long, partly out of a return favor. He keeps coming over to Burlington, back to his home in Burlington and Racine County, and helps us out reminding folks in Racine about progressive ideas. So we really appreciate that. And it worked out pretty well. Sunday, I kind of go to church on Sunday. I don't campaign much on Sunday anyway. So really appreciate the invitation to be here. And I'm sure that Kristen Dexter and Donna Seidel are not here just because we're in the middle right now of very grueling campaigns. You know, you've listened to wonderful candidates. Their election isn't until August. My election could be May 8th. So we're really right in the middle of it. We're really pedaling very fast right now. And so I can understand why they weren't able to make it. I wanted to just come and talk to you about really from the inside of real specifics on campaign finance. Take it from the point of view of a Senate candidate. This is my third Senate race, my eighth legislative race. First time I ran, I spent $218,000 against a county executive over in Racine, spent $400,000. So I know, and you can always be reminded, you don't have to have as much money as the non-progressive side to win. 2 years ago, I spent about the same as the Republican candidate. We spent about $225,000 each. I lost by a few thousand votes. This time, I anticipate that the candidate spending will probably be more than that, more than $250,000 for a Senate seat. It's not pretty. There's a lot of money raising involved. It's a difficult challenge. In the last seven, don't tell anybody back in Racine all this stuff I'm telling you now. The last 7 weeks, I've raised about $10,000 a week. Well, my opponent started out with, I think he had about $120,000 in the bank 7 weeks ago. So I'm sure, I know I haven't caught him, but I'm sure he's raising money beyond that. It's a real challenge. I have raised some PAC money. The PAC money's not, it's all union money, I think. It's not real important in these large spending Senate races because there's a $15,000 cap on a $300,000 race. So inside the campaign, the PAC money is not super significant. Conduit money is probably where different groups bundle money and send it to campaigns. Probably about a quarter of the money that I've raised so far. And then the individual contributions are coming in. They're all over the place. They're most of the contributions. $1,000 limit. I have received some $1,000 checks down to $2 contributions. So they're all over the place. The new thing for me and the really neat thing that's going on in America right now is we have Act Blue. And last week, I got a check in the mail. I didn't ask anybody for any of this money. $4,000, you know, comes in my mailbox. And then there's details on over 300 individuals that donated small amounts from all over the country. Now, they're not asking anything from me, you know? I don't even know them. I don't even know where the money's coming from, sort of, you know? There are progressive side groups that are helping us out, and that's really, really beautiful. There's another group of donors that comes in these Senate races, and that's what we would call rich ideological donors, sometimes from out of state. People who are really strongly supporting gay rights or strong environmentalists, people who are really supporting the arts or something or another, and they are very rich people, and they watch what's going on, and they send money all over the country. And they're they're like, you know, wow, who sent me this money? You know, and you have to dig around to try to figure out, because I don't know anybody in Boston, Massachusetts that sent me $1,000, and then the wife sent $1,000, and then one of the adult children sent $1,000. You know, you don't really know where that's coming from. But that's kind of the inside view of what's going on in terms of fundraising in the Senate race right now. And we're, like I say, we're right in the middle of it. Could be May 8th, could be June 5th that the election date is. And money is really necessary in a big race. This week, I will be spending $13,000 on a poll that goes out into the field tomorrow and the next day. $13,000 issue poll. I know what I want to say, but I don't know how messages are well received unless we have current polling. So we do that in these big campaigns. Also this week, or later next week, maybe it's next week, I'll be doing a photo shoot and a creation of an ad, which will be about $10,000 for one television ad. That's not the money to play it on cable or TMJ4 in Milwaukee or something. That's the creative, about $10,000. Well, all my friends are typical Democrats. They're, you know, 50 bucks is a lot of money to give to a political candidate, you know. It takes a lot of 50 bucks to get up to $10,000. So that's going on. A mail campaign recommended for my campaign, what we've done before. It's about $100,000 for the number of mail pieces to get to people. A saturation television ad campaign in a Senate district in Racine is about $150,000, $175,000 to get enough ads on so that you can communicate with people and they really know who you are. And that's not the problem. The problem is third-party spending. I will be snowed. I will be a sitting duck. I will be a target with no response. I will be, if you want a Lenten kind of an example, on a cross just waiting to see what happens. That's what candidates decide to do in these races, because last time WEAC spent about $350,000 on Milwaukee television on my behalf on the other side of the wall. I don't have any connection with it or say about it. I didn't like a lot of the ads. This time the rumors are that they're going to be spending much more than that in the Senate ads. One Wisconsin Now is sort of, if you look at the bottom of the screen, it says One Wisconsin Now. They're the big player on the side for me and in those other recall races. So some specifics. Finally, just to let you know that the Democratic Party provides pretty much our office and some field staff. Senate Democrat Campaign Committee, some of you have been maybe solicited by, provides definite help to these campaigns. We're not doing this by ourselves, but it's the candidate himself or herself doesn't have full charge of the whole operation. We do it joyfully and we do it as progressives, but there's a lot swarming around. I said to my wife when I decided to come out of retirement and go do this again, I said, remember, we don't have any control over this. We'll just do our best and let the Lord provide, you know, what the result is going to be. But there's a lot of moving parts that are outside the candidate's control. The more that you can do to be a voice, to limit that and give a voice back to candidates, the more it's appreciated. So anyway, thanks a lot for your time.
Lori's been waiting patiently. Yeah, come on up here before we get into an argument.
I didn't do it all by myself. Had a lot of help from a lot of amazing volunteers. My name is Lori Compass. I live in Fort Atkinson with my husband, Eric, my two kids, Tom and Anna. My daughter, Anna, is here with me today.
our dog Sadie, and I'm running against Scott Fitzgerald in the upcoming. We're here today to talk about money and politics, and I'd like to give you my perspective on that topic as a newcomer to the political scene. I'd like to tell you about a couple of ways this new campaign finance reality is influencing my own campaign. And first off, just to give you the lay of the land, I don't think you'll find a greater contrast anywhere than the one between my opponent and me. And I'm talking about money and everything else. Scott Fitzgerald has had unlimited fundraising capabilities since the day I filed the papers for the recall petition on November 15th of 2011. The day after I announced my candidacy for the race, I visited with a group of teachers in our town. They were having a little meeting in the bowling alley and everybody had brought their kids. It was kind of a family thing. So I was doing that the day after I announced. At the very same moment, Scott Fitzgerald was in Washington, D.C. hosting a fundraiser that cost $1,000 a person just to walk in the door. So he has more money than I do. That's a given. That's to be expected. But what I didn't expect were the unseen ways that money is already coming into play in this race. On both sides, as John alluded to, there are people working for me, I think, maybe, but I don't know. And then there's also people working against me. And I doubt that's a surprise to political insiders, but I've certainly got an education in this over the past couple of weeks. A few days ago, I was out knocking on doors in Lake Mills, talking with people who live and work here in the district, and I came home to reports that a firm in Texas had been conducting a push-pull against me all evening. In my inbox was this email from a supporter, quote, "He was cleverly twisting your positions to make you sound really awful. After his third manipulation, I was so disgusted. I told him that his survey was the most underhanded, untruthful, disgusting political maneuver I'd ever heard and hung up." So, that's what was happening while I was out knocking doors. And as I got more reports of that same call going out, I got more details, and I realized that they weren't really conducting a push-pull. They were actually trying to fine-tune their negative message. They were saying, "Would you be less supportive of Lori if you knew she had been at the protests in Madison? How much less supportive would you be?" You know, so always up until now, I had realized, I knew that it costs money to buy TV ads, but I had never thought about all the work that goes into the creation of those. And so I had never really thought about how money can help a candidate delve into the psychology of the constituents in a particular area. So that was kind of a rude awakening. And the rude thing about these calls is that it ties into something that John alluded to, and that's the idea of independent expenditures. And I really don't know who was making those calls on Scott Fitzgerald's behalf. Maybe it was his campaign, maybe his campaign arranged it and paid for it, or maybe another group did. A group that can raise and spend as much money as it wants. A group that's required by law to work independently of a candidate and a campaign. And frankly, I don't know a whole lot about this independent expenditure thing. All I know is that there's a kind of an invisible wall between the candidates on one side and the groups that are raising and spending all this money on the other. I think we can safely say that some of those groups are working for Scott Fitzgerald, and some of them might be working for me, or on my side, sort of, except on the other side of the wall. I'm running a campaign that really emphasizes direct voter contact, neighbors talking to neighbors, friends talking to friends, and I'm relying really heavily on this amazing grassroots network that sprang up as a result of the petition drive. Now, voters or volunteers can move freely across that invisible wall from my side to the independent expenditure side. But we candidates can't talk to that side. We can't plan with that side. We can't ask anything of people on that side. And the whole thing makes me so nervous that I've just told everybody, don't even tell me anything that you might be doing over on the other side. And so, you know, running my first campaign for office would be difficult enough without this bizarre situation happening. I don't know what these groups are or if they're helping me now, if they will in the future. I don't know what they're doing with the volunteers. I can't control what they say in ads. I'm telling the volunteers that we all need to dress nicely and act professionally. When we're out knocking on doors for my campaign, I tell them that we absolutely will not engage in personal attacks, name calling, none of that. I remind them that we need to demonstrate every day that our words and actions, we need to demonstrate through our words and actions that we stand for a return to Wisconsin's best traditions of open government, civility, and a bipartisan commitment to progress. But how do I know what other people, even people who want me to win just as badly as I want to win, how do I know what they're asking the volunteers to do and what they're telling the volunteers to say? How do I keep the volunteers from getting burned out from too many requests on their time? I don't expect any answers today, and I've resigned myself to the fact that we'll all simply have to learn as we go. I appreciate Mike McCabe's ideas about running a low-budget, high-impact campaign, and that's part of what we're hoping to do. But all of this is evidence of a system that's become so complex and so convoluted that it isn't working for the vast majority of people anymore. What we're caught up in now is a political process that's bought and paid for by big money, and it's not working. If we want to return to civility in our political process, we have to start by reforming how we run and finance our campaigns. And over the next couple of years, I want to help change our current system into one that favors people over money and power. And can I even mention my website? Like, I don't know if that's legal. If you would like to be a part of this historic effort, you can go to my website at lauriecompass.org to donate your time and, yes, your money, because even though we'll never raise as much as Scott Fitzgerald has, we're going to need money because this is the reality in which we find ourselves. Thanks for your time, and I hope to see you out on the campaign trail.